Wednesday, June 17th, 2026. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is going well. Don't look now, but you are halfway to another weekend. That is always a good thing. And I hope that you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world is staying strong and staying healthy right now. And of course, the big story this week in the world of sports is that the New York Knickerbockers have won their first NBA title since 1973. Yeah, after scraping past the Atlanta Hawks in the opening series, the Knicks got hot. They swept both the Philadelphia 76ers and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then went on to the NBA Finals and eliminated those San Antonio Spurs in just 5 games. Now, was this an all-time great NBA team? No, probably not. You have a point guard in Jalen Brunson that you will remember was kind of discarded by the Dallas Mavericks when they allowed him to leave via free agency a few years ago. And Brunson was named the Finals MVP after averaging 32.6 points per game and 4 assists every game. And then he dropped that 45-point gem in the deciding Game 5. And I'll give him this. I don't know that he's the best player in the league, but he has been the most clutch player in the league over the last season or two. But it wasn't just Brunson. Karl Anthony Towns, who has long been considered too soft to truly anchor a front court. I mean, he probably played the best basketball of his career over this past season. And then we get to head coach Mike Brown. Remember that the Knicks look to be on the edge of maybe winning something over the past few seasons under head coach Tom Thibodeau. But then last year, when they came up short yet again, they decided to fire Tibbs and they hired Mike Brown to take over. Hey, Brown changed the offense. He trusted his depth, which we are seeing take place in the NBA more. We are seeing teams follow that Oklahoma City model and play 8-9 guys. And somehow Mike Brown pulled this group together. And he also kind of destroyed the narrative that LeBron James has never played for a quality coach in his career, because Brown made all the right moves in these playoffs. Now, will the Knicks be the favorite to win it all again next year? No, probably not. But I mean, they weren't the favorite this year either. Meanwhile, it's really easy to look at those young San Antonio Spurs as an automatic NBA Finals contender for next year. Hey, they're young. They're going to be good for a long time to come. Maybe. But they also showed some serious flaws in this series. Remember, they led every game in the NBA Finals series, but they came up short in 4 of those games. Young superstar Victor Wembanyama, he seemed to wilt a little bit when subjected to the physicality of what the Knicks were doing to him defensively. Point guard De'Aaron Fox, that guy just repeatedly makes plays that leaves everyone in the arena scratching their head and wondering what in the world he was thinking. And head coach Mitch Johnson doesn't seem to understand when to call timeouts. Very odd. Hey, congrats to the New York Knicks and to so many of their true long-suffering fans for just their 3rd championship in franchise history and their 1st in over 50 years, with 2 caveats. No congrats to jerk owner Jimmy Dolan, and no congrats to the scumbag Knicks fans who couldn't have shown less class in these playoffs, being destructive and being obnoxious at every single opportunity that they had. I don't wish them any congratulations. The long-suffering fans that actually acted right, yeah, I'll congratulate them. The others, eh. But it wasn't just the Knicks that won a title this past week. The Carolina Hurricanes beat the Las Vegas Golden Knights in 6 games in a crazy series. Well, a crazy series, at least early on. It ended up being a little bit boring down the stretch. But the Carolina Hurricanes win their 2nd Stanley Cup in franchise history. You know, after going down 2-1, the Hurricanes made a change. They pulled their goaltender. They replaced Frederick Anderson as a healthy scratch. and put in Brandon Bussey, and the Canes rolled off three straight wins with Bussey between the pipes. They clinch the title and take home their second Stanley Cup. And then on Sunday night, we got the over-the-top experience that was UFC Freedom 250 taking place on the White House lawn. It had all of the decorum and atmosphere of like a state fair, complete with motorcycle stunts and I think funnel cakes. Pretty sure Kid Rock was there.
Rock, flag, and eagle!
But while you might not have liked the optics of this event, hey, you can't argue with the show itself. We got seven wins by knockout or TKO, including heavy underdog and a guy with Colorado ties, I might add, Justin Gaethje, pulled off a monster upset by just absolutely beating the face off of previously unbeaten Ilya Topuria to finish the night in wild fashion. And it was just a completely insane night in general, but I have to admit, it was highly entertaining. And I know, there's a certain part of the population that thinks this, I don't know, somehow defiled the sanctity of the White House. I'm not sure I follow that logic. I mean, the White House has never been like a holy place, has it? I mean, I remember pretty recently them finding bags of cocaine, and I think there was a certain cigar that had to have counseling for PTSD. So let's slow down on defiling the White House. But it was a wild scene at the White House over the weekend. Hey, today on The Dose, like I said, the NBA Finals are now complete. The Stanley Cup Final is now complete. That wild scene at the White House is now complete. But we have something underway that is going to have the attention of not just the United States, oh no, but the entire sports world. In fact, we have so much to get to, we've got to jump into that right now. Joining us this week on The Daily Dose, we had to bring in an expert this week. The 2026 World Cup kicked off, late last week, Thursday, Friday, and we will now have more than 100 matches over the next month or so. But look, I don't watch enough soccer to know what's going on. I don't know which countries are the countries we should be watching. I don't know the best players. Fortunately, we have someone that does know these things, because Big Rob is a former D1 soccer star. Yeah, I just said it. NFL expert, college football expert, NBA expert. Oh, and by the way, he also follows soccer closely. Rob, welcome back to The Dose. Even though it is not even football season, it's a different kind of football season.
Yes. Still football, just a different form, like you said, but glad to be back, and glad this is going on right now to save us until real football starts.
See, and that's the thing, because the NBA Finals end, Stanley Cup ends, and then we have a long, long gap with nothing to do, and the World Cup is going to save us, isn't it?
It is. Like you said, baseball's going on, but you can't get into that until the playoffs start. No. So I think this is going to be the perfect carryover to get us through the summer.
Rob, before we jump into World Cup, the NBA Finals just ended. The Knicks won themselves a title. They hadn't won one in 50-some years. Are we happy for them? Are we annoyed at their fan base? Do we just hate Jimmy Dolan even more? How are we feeling about the Knicks winning a title?
Yeah, we are definitely annoyed with the fan base. We were interested to see the city. I think the city is still burning down. So that was probably the most exciting out of everything.
See, that was me. And it's funny because the base of that team, with the Nova kids, I kind of like it. They're tough. They're gritty. I don't know that, honestly, they're even that talented. They're just kind of tough and they get it done. I give Mike Brown a ton of credit for what he did with that group. That's the upside. The downside is that moronic fan base and that idiot owner. I can't stand any of them. That part has been painful for me.
I agree. And it ended up being good games, but I think the stat was, 72% the Spurs led in that series. So, you kind of got a question, to your point, how good is that team really? Did they really win it? Or, how much of that was the Spurs, kind of just choking it away? But at least we got, good games though. So, can't complain too much.
We did get entertaining games. I was trying to think back. Out of the five NBA Finals games, did the Knicks play good in any of them? I'd give them like a C on all of them.
Yeah, I would say the same. Every game, Spurs were up, I think, double digits in every game. And like I said, 72% of the series, they were in front. And it just, you know, fell apart, you know, down the stretch. You know, most of that probably just, well, not probably, just a young team. First time there, just, you know, under the pressure, couldn't handle it.
And it felt a little bit like Wemby. The longer the series went, the more physical they were with him. It felt like they were just giving him body blow after body blow, and you could just see him kind of shrinking and getting smaller and getting softer and not quite wanting to go down and bang. I'd rather shoot the three. No, I'm sure you would, because you're getting beat up a little bit inside. And I wondered if they just kind of wore out. Late in that game five, Wemby didn't even look like he wanted to be on the floor, to be quite honest. That was just kind of rough to watch. All right, Rob. The 2026 World Cup tournament began this past Thursday. Can you kind of explain the format of the World Cup for those that don't pay attention whatsoever?
Yeah, so this year it's expanded. First year, so 48 teams total, expanded from 32. And then the way four teams in each group. So you're going to play, you know, everyone in your group once. The top two teams from each group automatically advance to the next round. And then you get the next best third place, the top eight third place teams after that also advance into the round of 32.
So you are going to get a few groups that are going to get three out of their four in. The others will just get the two. Okay, Rob, I'm going to ask you a very, very difficult question. This is a tough one. There are 48 teams in the tournament. If you were going to say, hey, this team is kind of must see, like who are the biggest? Who are the big, big dogs out there?
Well, I'll start with the top two of the favorites, Spain and France. I'm going to say Spain first, you know, coming off a European championship, just a complete team, you know, passing, midfield, offense. There's really not a hole in that team. And I think something we'll mention too, you know, going forward with this tournament being here, you're going to have a lot of the heat is going to be a factor. Yeah. So I think with the added games, this is a team that likes to keep possession. So in those later rounds, you know, that's something to keep an eye on. And then France is the other favorite to start this tournament. Also, they're loaded too. Again, midfield, offense is all great. The defense is solid. They're trying to reach their third straight finals, which hasn't been done since Brazil back in the 50s. But again, this is a team, you know, riddled with talent all over the board. And that's another team, you know, I definitely keep an eye on moving forward.
Okay, so Spain and France to you are kind of the big dogs out there. I'm going to ask you one, and this might be even tougher. Who are the players that you're like, hey, if they're playing, I kind of have to tune in. I kind of have to watch them. Who are the players that are kind of must-see TV?
Yeah, I'll give you two more from those teams that I mentioned. Michael Olise from France. This is going to be kind of your playmaker. Plays his club ball with Bayern Munich. 22 goals and 31 assists in 52 appearances last season. And this is a team, France, Mbappe up front, Dembele from PSG that just won Champions League. So just a lot of talent, like I mentioned, all around. And I think Olise is kind of the guy that can string all that together. So might, you know, possibly player of the tournament. And then going to Spain, that same guy for Spain is Pedri, played for Barcelona and kind of the same kind of player. This is your midfielder that's going to, you know, link up between the defense and the offense. You know, and both of them actually have the ability to score. But again, those are kind of the engines on those two teams that are going to kind of keep everything running.
Okay. Let's go past the top two big dogs. Is there kind of a next tier that you're looking at of like teams that you might want to keep an eye on?
Yeah, I've got two more teams I'll give you to watch. Okay. And then I've got some couple dark horses we can probably get into as well. But after France and Spain, the next two I'm going to give you still, we're still top heavy here, England and Brazil. I think England, obviously, well, not obviously, but I follow English Premier League. I know you do as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
And so you're, you know, riddled with Premier League players all over the top. But the thing with England is there was a lot of controversy about the lineups that they ended up picking, the players that they took, the players that they left home. The coach kind of unique here, so they're already getting a lot of heat from the press. Traditionally, you know, England has crashed out in World Cups before as well. So there's already kind of like a little pressure building. So that's something to keep an eye on. Again, plenty of talent there. Harry Kane, obviously, great goal scorer right now, super informed. So the talent is there, but if this doesn't come together, you know, you're going to get a lot of complaints from that country. They're not going to be happy. Like I said, the pressure's already building. And then Brazil is another team I'll give you. this is a team, great talent. I think the reason to watch them here is Angelotti is their coach, which might be the best coach in the tournament. He's used to dealing with star players, kind of like a Phil Jackson, I would say, okay, to make a basketball reference. But he's won Europe's top five leagues. This is his first international stint. And Brazil, good players all around. We'll see if it comes together. So the talent's here, but I think that's what makes this interesting. They're in a bit of a 20-year drought as well. But like I said, just kind of to watch if he can kind of fit those pieces together, I think is a reason to keep an eye on.
Okay. You know, we've already seen the first couple of rounds taking place. A couple of the groups are already underway. They've played their first round games. Is this similar to like the NBA playoffs? Should we overreact to what we see in these first round of games? Or is it such a long tournament that, hey, we saw one team, we saw Brazil, for instance, I don't want to say they stumbled, but maybe didn't play as well as they had hoped to over the weekend. Is that an overreaction to look at them and start to be concerned? Or is it just, hey, it's one game, it's a long tournament, we've got a long way to go?
Yeah, one game, long tournament. One thing I will say with the extension, I think the numbers are, if you can just win one game in your group, you've got a 62% chance of advancing, you know, with the added teams. So I think that's something that we'll kind of have to see how that shakes out. But because of that, I think especially early on, you might see teams playing more conservative, especially, you know, against that second team in your group, that the two best teams in the group, for example, like when they play each other, I think you might see them sit back a little. We're okay with the tie because we know we'll beat up on, you know, the bottom feeder in this group. Yeah. So I think that is a dynamic that we'll see kind of play out here, especially in the third game too. So like if you've got a team, they've won their first two games, again, with the tournament being so long, the weather being a factor, that third game we don't care about. We're going to, you know, rotate our squad out. And again, on the flip side, like I said, you can see in some of these early games, okay, just conservative. We're okay if we can get out of here a tie. That's fine because we want to make sure we beat this team. And that's going to give us a pretty good chance to advance out the group.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense because watching some of the games over the weekend, I was noticing that exact thing. I was noticing a lot of teams going, hey, we're going to play conservative. We're going to sit back. We're going to not let anything, you know, kind of bad happen, but we're not going to be super aggressive at the offensive end. There's no reason to be. But hey, if you get your 1 point for your tie, you're in decent shape. So that makes a lot more sense. All right, Rob, give me that next tier of teams that you're looking at going, hey, they might not be the biggest of dogs, but they might be a team to keep an eye on.
Yeah, two more here. I'm going to start with Argentina, trying to go back to back again. This is something else that hasn't been done since Brazil back in the 50s. I don't think it's going to happen just because they've gotten a lot older now.
Yeah.
I think part of last year was just that Messi's last ride, kind of, you know, emotional bump that they got. And I don't think they have that now. They've had a couple injury problems. So I don't think they'll make it through. But I think that is a team, you know, just to kind of, you know, keep an eye on. And then another one I'll give you is Portugal. And this is a team, again, pretty solid top to bottom. And this is kind of Ronaldo's last ride. So maybe we get those Messi vibes from last World Cup where they kind of, you know, rally around him. And I think the difference this year is in past years, you know, they've really relied on him to score, but they do have more offensive talent. I think the midfield is a lot better than previous years. So that's a team I'm pretty interested to watch as well.
Rob, I hate to get excited. We know this is not our thing. This is not our place. This is not where we... Rob, I watched Team USA beat a Paraguay team that is looking like they were going into the tournament, maybe kind of in that next tier of being a pretty decent contender, and Team USA completely dominated them. I mean, 4-1. I don't know if we've scored four goals combined in the last 20 years. We put four up on that team. Okay. Talk me out of this. That was a fluke, right? We know that was a fluke, right?
No. I think we'll be okay. I think our offense, I've got faith in our offense that we can get one on the board between the midfield and our forwards. We'll be able to put one on the board. I think the defense is where I'm concerned about.
Okay.
I've got us winning the group and winning one more. I think we'll crash out in the round of 16. But as I said, yeah, I think the offense is legit. I think we've got enough firepower and speed to put one on the board. But I think, like I said, our defense is going to be that weak link. So I think a 2-1 crash out is coming. I think we'll definitely advance, like I said, through the group. I got to win and getting one more in. And then, like I said, I think we got a 2-1 defeat coming.
Rob, you bring up a really good point because I'm watching that team on Friday night. And I am so used to them. we don't play soccer. It's not what we do. This is not what our country does. We've got a couple of long, tall athletes from New York on that front line, and I'm going, holy cow, they're dangerous. They, like you said, they can go out and at least put a threat out there that they just might score. And if they do, this is just shocking to me. I wasn't expecting anything. Now they're actually, I don't know, you're playing, for the most part, in front of your own fans. Mm-hmm. If you go out there and do anything, you're going to have that home crowd behind you. I don't know. That would be really, really fun. That would actually be amazing. We know you don't have any history, but that would be amazing.
Yeah, and the crowd makes a factor. I mean, we saw it with Mexico and Canada in their game as well. And like I said, it's an exciting brand. It's going to be up and down. Like I said, I'm a little worried if we get those teams that, you know, park the bus, sit back and kind of really make us play. But yeah, any kind of, you know, transition, fast moving, that's what we want. Well, that's the good and the bad, because that's what we want. That's when we're at our best offensively. But again, I'm worried about, you know, us getting it back on the defensive side. But again, makes for exciting play, you know, with the crowd there. So yeah, we've got a decent chance.
All right. Well, we're a fast breaking team that doesn't, you know, play good defense. That sounds vaguely familiar. We have some experience with those kind of teams. We've seen that before. All right. Rob, is there a team out there? And I'm going to put you on the spot here. Is there a team out there nobody's talking about? A team out there that is going to maybe surprise some people that you can say you knew it before, because Rob let you know there was a team out there that was just a little bit sneaky enough that was under everybody's radar that you could put in there and say, hey, you might want to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, I give you a couple. Okay. First one I'm going to start with is Norway. And again, I'm going to go back to English Premier League. Haaland, top goal scorer in the Premier League, just probably the best forward out, either him or Harry Kane right now. Best striker in the game. He's got Martin Odegaard, midfielder for Arsenal that just won Premier League as well. So a setup man. So again, this is a guy, you know, again, when you've got the best, you know, striker in the game, you got a guy that can set him up. The team kind of focuses in on him. Maybe not enough to make a full run, but I think this is a team that could be dangerous, because if he's getting service, you know, he only needs two or three touches in the game. And, you know, you can definitely put it in the back of the net. So that's a team, yeah, that maybe, you know, if things fall right, could make a little bit of a run.
Okay, I like that pick.
And another one I'll give you is Belgium. This is a team that kind of people have written off, like their golden era, they says seems to have passed. But I don't think so. They still got a couple left over. Lukaku up front, Kevin De Bruyne used to play for Man City in the midfield. And then they got young guys, Tielemans, Trossard. Again, these are mostly English Premier League players that are really good. So they've got a nice mix of old and young right now. Again, no one's talking to them because, you know, they feel like, you know, because they're in that kind of transitional phase. But I think they have like a good mix of old and young that, again, if everything comes together, I think Belgium is a team that you might see make a little bit of a deep run.
Very interesting. Good stuff here, Rob. All right. I've got just a couple more for you because I know nothing. So we're going to just rely on Rob for everything. I don't know the answer to this, so you're going to have to help me out. We get in the baseball playoffs, and you get that pitcher that is just hot. You get that guy that is just shutting everybody down. He's dominating the game. And even, you know, people getting scoring position, it doesn't matter. You get in hockey, you have that goaltender that's just standing on his head. He's just red hot. They can't get one by him. Is it the same in soccer? Can you get a hot goaltender that can kind of carry a team? Is that a possibility? And if so, is there a goalie out there you're looking at and saying, hey, this might be the guy that could be the difference?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit more, I find, offensively than defense than a hot goaltender, like to compare it to hockey. But there is, because, you know, when you move to the knockout rounds, like we said, we're talking about the Heat. So I think we'll see like a lot of teams, you know, try to slow it down. We could see in those knockout games, again, people sitting back and, you know, all right, we're going to wait it out here and play for it. Ecuador is a team that I would mention. They conceded 5 goals in 18 fixtures in qualifying, and this is coming up through South America. So that's Argentina, Brazil, Colombia. I know in their first round game, they did, you know, lose 1-0, but that is a team, you know, when you mentioned defense, possibly one of the best defenses in the league. Okay. And then, like I said, going through in the qualifying, I think you can see teams again. Okay, we're going to sit back. We'll try to get something on the counter if we can. But again, if we, you know, trust in our goalie, trust in our keeper, we're fine playing this out to a tie and, you know, taking it to PKs.
Okay, excellent job there, Rob. All right, we're gonna ask the million-dollar question. We're gonna put him on the spot. We're a month out. We got a long way to go. We got to see how everything shakes out. We think we know where Rob's gonna go, but we're gonna put him on the spot and we're gonna ask him, who are the two teams going to be? Who is going to be meeting up in that final, and who is going to be coming out on top?
Yeah, two teams I mentioned before. I'm gonna start with France. Again, like I said, they're loaded midfield, offense, defense. Like I said, I think they've got enough to get back there again. The coach too, Deschamps, someone been through the tournament. So this is definitely somebody that I could see that third round game, although they aren't in a tough group, but that's someone that doesn't have a problem rotating their players. That's looking at the whole thing, you know, not game by game. You know, we're already qualified. We don't care who we play, winning the group or not. So that's a team. Yeah, I think they make history there. Third finals in a row, France, and they're going to be playing Portugal in this.
Okay.
Kind of like I mentioned, I think the Ronaldo's last ride vibes, kind of like we saw with Argentina last World Cup. And again, the difference is this year being we're not relying solely on, you know, Ronaldo for our goals. We've got midfielders, Bruno Fernandes, again, Premier League reference, broke the assist record in the Premier League last year. They have other forwards as well, again, midfield. And so I think they've got enough good mix of gear, old and young, Ronaldo vibes, and they make it to the final as well, Portugal and France.
All right. Here's the big one. Who's coming out? Who's winning it?
Long shot here. We're going to stay away from France. We're going to go Portugal.
Okay.
This is the whole thing. Yes.
Wow. Can you imagine if Ronaldo actually went out like that?
Yeah. Again, I think we have had the comparisons forever. Messi versus Ronaldo. There is a chance that they'll end up meeting too. Just, you know,
if
the brackets align right before, I think in the quarters, they can end up meeting up, if I'm not mistaken, you know, depending on if they win their group and whatnot. But yeah, I think that'll, just further add to the discussion between the two. Right now, you would say Messi has the leg up because he does have the World Cup. Like I said, Ronaldo has run some European Cups, but just to keep that, you know, debate ongoing. Portugal wins. Ronaldo has his World Cup, and the debate goes on. Who's the best of this generation, Messi or Ronaldo?
You got a pick. Who's your pick? Who would you pick if you had to say who would you if you had to? We're picking up teams. You've got first pick. Who you taking?
I would say Messi, just because midfield kind of strings more together. Where Ronaldo primarily a striker. I mean, obviously outstanding striker. But yeah, starting a team, just like I said, Messi in that midfield, linking up between the defense, also has the ability to score. So I'll give a slight nudge to Messi.
I understand completely. Rob, we're in that time of year where usually we're sitting here going, now what are we going to do for the next month and a half or whatever until, you know, we really start to get some things coming out of the NFL. We really start to see some battles in college and that kind of thing. I feel like the World Cup is going to tide us over at least. It's going to give us something to watch over the next month. And then we can start talking football, because right now we are in the dreaded time of football season that you just hope your team isn't in the news. If there's a headline, you don't want to be in it. I know my Denver Broncos right now are dealing with a pass rusher who seems to have lost his mind. And I don't, oh my goodness. Rob, is it too early to start looking forward to the NFL?
Yes, too early. Focus. I'm going to say focus on the World Cup here. And yeah, one thing I did want to mention too, again, we talked about extension a little bit. I think if, you know, we've seen that a lot across the board, right? Yeah. March Madness did it, which terrible for the record. I hate that they did. College football has done it. I think we're okay where we're at now, but the whispers of the 24 teams is an awful idea as well.
You're right.
But for the World Cup, I'm okay with it. Again, we'll see how it plays out. But I just think it's almost like the Olympics in a sense, where you just get those countries that have, you know, first time making it, or like the Scotland's haven't made it in like 20, 30 years, seeing the fans in the stands, you know, just cheering on their country for the first time, even if even if they're not doing great. So you, like I said, you kind of get those Olympic, you know, that Olympic style vibe, and you get a true world champion. You know, we mentioned before the Knicks are world champions, but again, with this four, you know, actually it is, you know, the whole world. So, you know, you really get that, you know, as well, that vibe too. So again, if anything, like I said, I'm pretty much against all extensions at this point, but like I said, if one gets a pass, I think World Cups, just because you get those, you know, kind of human country interest stories.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%, because I do think the college basketball and college football are both making big mistakes. You're going to add games. You're going to add more potential for injury. You're going to add more, let's be honest, bad games, if we're being, you know, 100% on this. And that isn't the feeling here. Rob, I'm going to have one final question for you. We'll let you go. We appreciate you coming in during the summer, during the heat of the summer. But I've got the most important question for you still coming. Of the talent in the stands, what country is bringing the most? Because Rob, I'm seeing things up in the stands, and no. I gotta be honest, it's impressive. It's every bit as good as what's on the field.
Yeah, I see those as well. I want to say the Latin American countries.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah, no,
for
me, you're personally, right. I you're 100% right.
Those always seem to catch my eye.
Mexico is bringing it. I'm with you 100%. I was watching a little bit of Ecuador, and they're showing the I don't know, student section. I'm going, holy cow, what is going on up there? This isn't like college football here. This is an upgrade. If you don't like World Cup, I just gave you a reason to watch World Cup. I'm telling you, you're going to be impressed. Rob, as usual, I want to thank you for coming into the dose. Rob was actually available for us to he got us some inside information. If you missed it just a few weeks ago, the Daily Dose iTeam broke down a little bit of some NFL inside information. We know they're putting some new slogans in the end zone. They were actually able to tell us some of the slogans that got skipped. Hey, you don't get that information anywhere else. Big Rob from the Daily Dose iTeam, he finds the stories no one else can find. We always appreciate what you bring to the dose every week.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. Nice to make a summer appearance. And yeah, countdown is already on for football season.
All right. We'll see you in a few weeks because it won't be long. Hey, next week on The Dose, you know, we just might have to take a peek at what's going to take place in that NBA draft that begins next week. And you know, we'll be keeping you up to date on all that is going on in the sports world as only we can. So be sure you check out The Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much for all the contributions that Big Rob makes to the Daily Dose. We couldn't do any of this without you. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. That's a thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Eagle!